All right, Perek Yudalev, questions, comments, what do we got here?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what's with the disguise?
What's with the disguise?
And also, why does God feel the need to tell Achia that she's coming? Doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Why tell him? What's the point? He's gonna know.
Yeah, but she's coming in a disguise.
So she'll tell him.
So this is much cooler. She's coming in a disguise, and he's blind. And he's like, says, "Why are you coming in a disguise? I know who you are."
Disguise and the blind are kind of big.
Well, she might not have known that he was blind, right? So, like, the fact that she's in a disguise and he's blind, and he says, "Why are you coming in a disguise? I know who you are." It's pretty unnerving, right? Yeah. We would obviously take the words of this guy a little bit more seriously when he knows that.
Hmm.
Right.
What about the fact that he says, "I have some harsh words for you"?
They're pretty harsh.
Yeah, I know, but why would he say that?
Well, that's what God told him to say. It's probably not so easy for him, the same way that it was not so easy for Shmuel to tell Shaul, "You blew it. You're no longer the king. He is the one that anointed Yerubim ben Nevat. Now he has to tell him, you didn't keep up your end of the bargain. It's all over." What? Yeah.
Why does it repeat that his mother's name was not like the only at the end?
I was thinking about that. Is that trying to say that because she's like a foreign woman, just like we said before, Shlomo's wives led him astray, so here also, this is another one of Shlomo's wives and led her son astray? I don't know. Like her upper, look, Shlomo clearly did not raise all of his kids, his wives did. He was busy running the empire. So maybe the fact that Rechavim grew up to be such a loser, really, compared to David and Shlomo, that's the best word that I can say about him, is maybe we're blaming it on Na'ama Hamonit. Maybe. Yeah.
The reason why all of Israel is going to be like taken out from the land because of the Asherah tree, is that really true? Because there was also the Rechavim sect who was not really following.
Right now, this is talking about that kingdom, that northern kingdom. Any other questions? Yeah.
Why 10 threads and a wafers and a bottle of honey? Is there any significance in that?
I'm sure it does. I don't know. It didn't interest me enough to think about it. And
I assume the ten tribes have to do with the fact that he has 10. No, I'm sorry. The 10. What does it say? 10. 10 breads has to do with like the 10 tribes he controls. I don't know about this stuff.
I don't know.
Also, it says in Pasuk 17. Mm-hmm. Yerubim's wife arose and left. She came to Tirzah.
Okay.
But what exactly is that? That's like,
it's Jack Tirzah's
house. There you go. I mean, this is, she's going home now.
This is home. Okay, fine. Tirzah?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. She already got close to the place. She gets worse. And like, you know, she gets like the city, you know, outskirts of the city. When she enters the house, then he dies. Yeah.
Did they actually think the trees were like it? Like, you know, these trees are awesome. They're really working out for us. Even, you know, let's plant a million of them on every single hill we can find.
Look, you can ask, do people think that the statue that they made and they worshipped was it? Or do they view that as representative? So you could say the same way people worship the sun as a representative of God. So the tree was also nature. This is a representative of God, this particular tree.
But if you make a million of them, is it like the same?
I don't know. You can make a million idols. You know what? An Asherah tree. It's an idala tree. There you go. Yes.
That's a
happy tappy joke. Yes. Yeah.
At that time.
Okay. The Eitz Haki. So what is the connection? So what do you think? What? How did the last parak begin?
After he kept on doing bad things.
Good. Yerubim does not repent, and now we see right away the punishment. Okay, so now let's start from there. Why does Yerubim send his wife in disguise to Achia? Why? What do you think?
Maybe so people don't know that Queen's going.
Okay, why not?
just want to attract attention.
Okay. I think you're right. Look, on the one hand, you could say he wanted to fool Achia because he knew Achia would be angry at him. That's a little bit weak because he's sort of asking about the kid and like, whether you think that he's going to like just give a bracha to a kid without knowing what's going on. It's a little bit of a weak answer, but it is an answer. Or you could say he was embarrassed to have his wife seen going to the Navi. I mean, maybe if you are the king of the northern kingdom, where should you be going to daven? At the Eglei Azav. Like, why are you going to the Navi? But it seems like he thought this was a last-ditch effort. I'm going to go to the Navi, who, after all, he's the one that anointed me. Maybe he'll help me. But you see also the disguise as part of his personality flaw. What did we speak about yesterday? Your Rebbe was all about Mi Barosh. Who's the most important guy? I'm the most important guy. And therefore, it's hard for him to need somebody. I don't know if you guys ever watched this old TV show I grew up on, Happy Days. And Fonzie was his character.
Yeah,
Fonzie was a cool guy.
He's in The Water Boy also.
Okay. Fonzie was a cool guy, and he could never say he was wrong. He would say, how can I say I'm wrong? So he couldn't say, I need somebody. You need somebody, but you're the guy. So you need anybody. So this was difficult for him. And what does it mean when he tells his wife, you know the one who anointed me? Don't you think she knew? I mean, you would think that he's the king because Achia Shiloni anointed him. There's probably a picture of the two of them shaking hands, standing on the mantle in their living room, right? This is, of course she knew Achia Shiloni is the one who anointed him. So Rav Menashe Aviner says this idea, reminds him he anointed me to be a king. What did we say yesterday? What's in between a king and a shofet?
King has heritage.
Good. If my son dies, will I really be a king? Retroactively, I won't be a king. That's what it's all about. You made me a promise. You said that I'm going to be a king. What kind of king doesn't have a successor? Right? So in the end, this son does die, but he has another son that will succeed him. So he will be a king. But that is the message. You know, and that other son is king for only 2 years. And as far as we know, technically it might have even been 2 months because we count a month as a year. So if he was king for the month of Adar, that would be a full year. And then he was a king for the month of Nisan, it would be another full year. So 2 years need not necessarily be 2 years. It could be less than 2 years. But he succeeded in having an heir, and that would be good. Why do you think the emphasis, look at the words, the Navi tells her, when your Raglayim come into town. All right, it keeps talking about Raglayim. Where's the pasuk that talks about it? Where is it? No one's got it? Vehikishmo achia kol ragleha. He heard the sound of her legs. What does it mean, sound of her legs? So, once again, Rav Menashe Aviner says maybe it's saying this because what was one of the big sins of Jeroboam ben Nebat? He was doche the shlosh regalim. He made a leap year. He made the calendar different than the rest of the Jews. So because he played around with the regalim, now there's an emphasis about when her feet came into the house, the kid died. It's all about feet, because it's like a reference to the shlosh regalim. Okay. In Pasuk Hey, who gives rebuke? The Navi says that, where is it? Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Let me find it. Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hashem Elokei Yisrael is now getting even. Now, this phrase was the phrase that was used earlier in Perek Yud Aleph. Hashem Elokei Yisrael is the one that told Achia Shiloni to anoint Yerubam. Also, what we do see is that you look at these psukim. How does Achia and Hashem view the Eglei Azahav? What's their attitude towards it? Look at pasuk 9. What's their attitude towards the Eglei Azahav? Is it a way to worship a Kaddish Baruch Hu?
No.
No.
Gods of others.
Gods of others. Right? It clearly, right, although we said it might have been done, maybe, you know, as a way to worship God, here, clearly that's not the way God's viewing it. That's not the way Achil is, you know, viewing it as God's spokesperson. And he is cursed. The Gemara in Tanis, though, says that the curse of Achia is better than the blessing of Bilam. Because the curse of Achia, they're referred to as a kaneh. A kaneh is a reed. When the river is very harsh or the wind, it bends but doesn't break. But the bracha of Bilam, we compare it to an Eitz Erez, where it's strong enough wind, it cracks in half. So there is a curse here, but Am Yisrael continues. And there is a civil war here. I mean, it's very interesting. Rechavam, that's why I say he's a loser. Why is Rechavam a loser? So, first of all, very interesting thing. Points out, how old is Rechavam? How old is Rechavam when he becomes king?
I don't know, but he rules for 17.
17 years. And how old is he when he became king?
22.
No, look at Pasuk 21.
41.
41. This is a very, very interesting thing. Why? How old was Shlomo when he became... Well, we don't know how old he was when he became king. That we don't know. How long did Shlomo reign as king? That we do know. Look at the end of Parakut Aleph. What?
40 years?
Exactly. 40 years. So what does that mean? If Rechavam was 41 years old when he became king, it means Shlomo made the shidduch and married off his son. Ta'ana'ama Amonit. Before what? Before Shlomo even became king. Right? You following this? Before Shlomo became king,
he was married to Naama.
He's married to Naama. David married off Shlomo to Naama Ammonit. And Rechavam is born. Which means, as opposed to other marriages that Shlomo had that we said might have been political in nature, like an ambassador, this was a shidduch by his father. He married off his young son Shlomo, and he had Rechavam before he was even became king. So it's not a political marriage, which meant that this should have been a perfect woman, an arranged marriage with Rechavam. The kid, this kid.
Wait, hold on, Shlomo, you're saying Shlomo made the shidduch of his.
I'm sorry, my bad. I'm mixing up the
name.
David arranges the marriage for Shlomo to marry Naama Hamonit before Shlomo ever becomes king. Which means, in contrast to all the other women that Shlomo marries, that we say might have been political in nature, this was for sure not. This was just a shidduch, that an arranged marriage by David.
Why would David do that?
Well, according to the Abar Benel, he was like 20 when he became, you know, king.
So maybe it's...
Right, there is an idea in the Gemara that says he's 12. Okay? The Abar Benel just says it's a little hard to say based on different reasons. This would be one of them. Because he was actually 12, it would be very hard. He became king at 12 and he already had a kid for a year. So difficult to say that.
Okay? That's what I was going to ask.
Right, I'm saying, right, that's one of the reasons the Abar Benel would say this. You know, of course, the standard answer would be Mishnah Nua Teva. Back then they were able to do things today. Until you're about 13, you can't really impregnate a woman. So they'll say, oh, well, back then maybe they could. Okay? We don't know that they could, so it's a little easier to say that they couldn't. And since we don't know how old he was, the Abar Benel makes more sense. He was young. It doesn't mean he had to be 12. So he could have been a teenager, could have been 20, became king. His marriage happened when he was 18, and Shmona Yisrael Chuppah had a kid at 19, became king at 20. It was the fast track. Okay.
Wait, how do you know immediately after Shlomo died, his kid was king?
Because that's what it says. Shlomo dies, and Rechavam becomes king.
Maybe it was like there was an interim period.
For what? See, if there's a question of who's going to be king, so I can understand. But there is no question. We know who's king. His oldest son.
I'm just saying,
it makes sense that he becomes king. Why should they go without a kid?
You gotta set up the inauguration party. They elect the president.
Right, but the king's here not elected, and that's the difference. And we even pointed out that there was really no need for an inauguration party. The fact that Rechavam had one showed weakness on his part.
Took a lot of planning.
Maybe. Now, what's sad is Rechavam boasted that he's better than his father Shlomo. And yet, what happens towards the end? the golden shields that his father set up had to be given away, and they turned into bronze. Why is he attacked? Because earlier, he, in Divrei Hayamim, we see, he had made an alliance with Egypt. Going back to what we said before, Shlomo getting horses from Egypt, they made an alliance. Now Rehoboam does the same thing. Rehoboam already has an alliance with Egypt and said, oh, Egypt and I will fight against Jeroboam ben Nevat. Right? And he enlists Egypt. What happens? Rehoboam backs out. Which we already saw in the Pesukim that God said, I don't want you to have a civil war, right? So now, Egypt's upset. So they go and they attack, and they take all the shields, and they take all the stuff from him. So everything that his grandfather and his father had built up over decades, in 5 short years, it's gone. Rehoboam's not worried about Shemiras and Mitzvos, and he ruins everything that his predecessors had built up in 5 short years. This is the Rehoboam that we have. All right.